Praise the Lord. All right. So if you have been listening or looking at the notes from the previous week that I preached, I was preaching on the love of God. Oh God. The love of God is possibly the most important idea, the most important concept that we had to grasp and understand, because it is not really easy to do that. I was reading just this week, as was preparing for this, you know, a book that thick by well-known theologians. I really thought that he had problems in what he was saying, because he didn't jump up and down for joy. He didn't really realize what is there and the extent that is there. See, we have been on Thursday night teaching on God, understanding God, understanding what he's like. And I'm going to get more into that too. Especially the love of God and other things. Because the more we understand God and the more we can relate to him, you cannot have a relationship with somebody that you don't know. This is something you have to understand, that you go around by what somebody else says. You have to know it personally. You have to understand it. And you have to do more than just understand it. You have to be able to actually experience it. And you have to experience it at the right level. Okay? Because that's exactly what God wants. This is his desire. This is what he wants, you know, to be able to connect with us, and we connect with him. And it's not, the problem is that whenever we talk about love, we think about worldly love. And that is something completely different. Worldly love always, I'm repeating, always involves the greed of self-centeredness and self, desire. The ego is a big part of that. That's not the love that God has for us and the one that we have to go have for him. If we don't understand that, we are going to be disappointed by God and we are going to be turned off. And I hope that I'm going to explain something so clearly that you have no escape from being able to understand exactly what I mean. Okay? You know, the experience I had 2 weeks ago, you know, wasn't the easy one. But no, I was on a point in my relationship with God that nothing could move me. And I had the greatest time. I honestly can say to you that I had the greatest time with him that I had for a long time, because he was always there with me, supporting him in ways that were not just natural, were supernatural. They make it so easy for me to go some things that were not very easy. And there was no question, oh, I hear from God. You know, people, everybody says that. And most of the time, they just heard from what they would want to think. Okay. I heard from God, and it all the time was confirmed. Okay. You know, all the diagnosis of what I had, the Lord gave it to me before any doctor gave it to me. And I did it at the very beginning. And the funny things, you know, this funny sense of humor, that all the time when, you know, when I got into the hospital, the doctor said, oh, you know, you have a fractured hip, you have need a complete hip replacement. I looked at him, didn't say a word. Lord said to me that wasn't the case. I waited until the evening that day when they took me in the operating room, and they said, no, you don't need a hip replacement. We are going to have only a partial replacement of the, tumor part, the top part, okay? And I knew exactly, the Lord told me exactly with the same words before. Yeah. Other time, you know, like one of the x-ray women there that was, you know, told me, you sure, you know, the Lord told me, you know, you have really strong bone because otherwise you have been all fractured there. You came down from 7 steps and were flying up in the air, you know, and I just hit one part and that part broken. But even that, you know, should have been a mess. I wasn't, you know. The woman that did my x-ray that the last time I was there, I don't know how many times, said, you certainly do not have osteoporosis. And the Lord and me, when I fell down after that, he said, you really have strong bones. He makes our bones fat. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Anyway, just to introduce, you know, the topic that is relevant to understand how we relate to God. Okay. One of the things that I've been teaching about, okay, is really the last time we covered quite a bit about the love of God. Okay, and it was very superficial. Okay, just to introduce the topic if you want. Okay, but this is, you know, the emphasis that he gave us when in the things that I was covering. Okay, if you love me, you obey my commandment. You can say you love God if you don't follow what he wants you to do. You are not at the level in which the love of God has actually touched you properly. That's what it means. Okay. So that was the first concept I wanted to bring back, because this is important, because that is what gives you the assurance, that would give you the stability in your position, because you had done everything you had to do. And God knows exactly the way, not just you do, but even you think. Okay. The second thing that I wanted to emphasize is, you know, and I started introducing it, was God's sovereignty. Okay? That's a topic that is a big discussion topic today, a big questioning and big confusion there. Lots of people think that God, you know, is not sovereign. And they are completely wrong. God is completely sovereign. Everything that happened here, now, is because God allowed it. The devil can do anything that God doesn't allow him to do. That's what the Bible says, no matter what anybody else says. That's what the Bible says. We go by the Bible. We don't go by man's teaching. Now, you know, that makes it difficult, for because sometimes, you know, there are so many messes. You say, how can many messes are and God be loving? You see, this is the difficult part. The difficult part is that people take one part of the truth and try to develop doctrines from that. And I say to you, never, never develop your doctrine and your understanding of the Bible based on one scripture, on one element, one component of the message. You have to take the whole book together and balance it out. And if you can't because you don't know it enough, well, you are not in the qualification to judge what God is saying. Okay? You have to understand that. And so you have to combine both the love of God with God's sovereignty and with the mess that is the world in today. And your mind, very small, don't know anything about this stuff because we are limited. The information we get most of the time is only the physical information, not what's going on really in the dimension it determines everything else, which is the spiritual dimension. We don't know the way God judges things. But we should know that what the Bible says is the way God judges things. So we have a reference. If we don't believe in that, then there is no Christianity. Because that's what Christianity is about. That is what the Word of God gives us. That's what we should base ourselves on. Okay? I want to add another piece to the puzzle. See, you can take just two, three or so, but I have enough pieces here to put them together. The third piece is that God has a plan for you and for everyone else here. And is this plan is what says in the Jeremiah 29:11. You see, for I know the thought that I have to think about you, says the Lord. Thought of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And people take that scripture in isolation to all the others, and they create an image to themselves that sounds like the American dream. And this is not what God is calling and talking about. God is talking about the plan that really counts, which is eternity. That's really the important, you know, at the end, you see, it gives you a future and a hope. It's not tomorrow, it's not this moment, it's not next year. The whole future is planned for you. Are you following me? Okay. His plan is perfect. But are you or me going to follow that plan? That depends on us. That depends on us. We following his commandment. We following his direction. We seeking him with all our heart to be able to implement that plan, because otherwise the plan just doesn't happen automatically. What God planned is not what happens, is what we allow to do because he has given us free will. That's what the word says. Now, if you put those three parts together and you combine, you mix them up, put them in a bag, shake them up, you know, then you get the right combination maybe or some of the elements that you have to consider when you are going to look at the world, look at your life, look at the situation, look at making the proper judgment about things. Are you following what I'm saying? Anybody? I mean, this is important. Okay, this is really what makes the difference in our life. And what enables us to respond to the plan in the right way. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy is not in control. God is in full control, and God is the one that we have to trust about fulfilling his promises and his plan. When things go our way, everybody, yeah, yeah. When things don't go their way, think, why me, God? You know, that's the worst thing that you have to say. Unless you say, why me, and you get directly the why you, so you know what, why. But if you don't know the why, then you're in the wrong area to work. You trust him, and he's going to guide you. to the future that he has planned for you. Praise the Lord. Anybody can say praise the Lord on that? Okay, we are moving. I mean, this is important. You see, that one makes the difference. That's why, you know, the... Give you an example. The only thing I can apply to myself. So I had to talk about myself. I don't like to do that. And, you know, I can talk only just a match that because he has to permit it. Okay? But the moment in which I slipped, okay, the very moment, I know it was a major problem. And the first thing is, what? And I found nothing. The only thing I said, Lord, help me. I didn't dare pray, begging. No, I just said, pray, let me. And I trusted 100% on his help. I was at peace as I was flying there. I was complete peace all the way when I went down and banged my hip and, you know, I was in agony. I was at peace. I couldn't move. I was at peace inside. There was nothing scaring me. Anything could have happened. I could have been going with the Lord, banged the head, was finished. You know, I didn't care. I was at peace and nothing was affecting me. And I didn't want anything to be happening. You know, my wife, you know, I'm calling the ambulance. No. Let me settle here first. And I was at complete peace until finally I could breathe. And because physically, you know, we have a body. Okay? But my body wasn't controlling, was not controlling the situation. I was. And I, from the breeze of peace, I couldn't move because it was terrible. And then I, you know, start checking myself up, start seeing what was there, and I knew exactly what the Lord told me. You know. But in the meantime, you know, he just was giving me scriptures like crazy. You know, and direction and understanding. You know, and putting pieces of the Bible together all over the place. It was fun. No kidding. I mean, I share with the people, you know, soon after that. That was exactly the way I felt. Anyway, what happened is that when there is that peace, and God is there with you, and God is supporting you, it doesn't matter what's going on. Okay. But if you start trusting him, not trusting him, starting to fight the devil, you know, you waste time and energy. You don't need to fight anything. When Israel won the best battles, it's because they didn't fight. They were going around with the ark, praising the Lord, and the enemy were killing each other. You know, much of the warfare of today is just man-made. You can believe it if you want, and you are going to waste your energy. I have a better way to put my energy. Because my energy is not my energy. It's his energy. He is our power. He is our strength. But he is our strength and our power only as we line up with him. As we are in alignment with his thoughts, his judgment, his ideas. If we start questioning or judging God, we get ourselves in isolation. I give a scripture for that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. You know, this is when in Proverbs, you know, we cannot trust ourselves. We cannot trust our judgment. we cannot, because we don't know everything. But God knows everything. If we trust God, then some of the things he knows we are going to be able to grasp. Otherwise, we are going to stay in our place because we have separated ourselves from God. In Proverbs 28, I think I read that the last time when we were together. 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So that is really, you know, walking wisely is walking according to the word. That's the only wisdom that we have to go by. Okay. In Jeremiah 17:9 says, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How can we know it? See, the thing is, you know, we have to understand that, oh, you know, I'm born again. My heart is fixed. I'm sorry. Go and read the Bible. Okay. The potential is there to fix it. But you have to do a lot of work to do that and to manifest it. If you just read Romans 12, 1 and 2, tells you the story. The renewal of the mind is where the heart gets fixed. And that will get fixed by aligning yourself, by co-hosting, believing, you know, homologating, in Greek, the word in yourself, aligning yourself. That's what you need to do. And when you do that, then things start to be appearing differently. That is going to make a difference for you. See, this is what is determined, what is made possible by that love relationship between you and God. When you start trusting God more than yourself, when you start trusting God more than anybody else, when you start trusting what? Trusting God means trusting his word. If you don't know his word, then, you know, your word is just, your God is just a word. It's not a reality. But when you know the word, then you know God, because God and his word are the same. At least for our point of view. It's not that they're physically the same, it's that that's as much as we can know of them. Are you still following me? Praise this. See, what I'm telling you is completely practical. It's not theory. It's not, you know, my ideas. This is what the word says. And I don't talk about anything else. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, our heart is something we can, you know, our judgment, our things, is not something we can go by with. You know, and Jesus said it very clearly, you know, in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and following, you know, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thought, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Of these evil things come from within and defile the man. So that is really the way we had to go. You see, the way we had to learn to do is to go depending not on our inside, but on the outside, our connection with God, our knowledge of God, our the word, and how much is the word working and truly and manifested in our life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Now, the question is, how can we know more? How can we, you know, can we actually know more? Because we are so dull, spiritually, you know, blind. No matter how spiritual we think you are, the more you think you're spiritual, the least you are. Okay. Well, you know, the answer is yes, we can. Okay. But it's not according to the flesh and our reasoning. The Lord is the one that gives us the understanding and the revelation. In Jeremiah 17, verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his goings. You know, this is such a powerful scripture. Okay, first of all, you know, he is doing the searching. He is doing the revealing. He is doing the things that is going to be, you know, and it's going to be manifested. It's going to be the fruit, okay, in your life are going to be reflecting what is going to hide your heart. Sometimes you go, you know, we think so materialistically, and it's just the mentality of society today that it's not surprising this seeps into the church. You know, look at Paul's life. And all the things that Paul went through. And was directed by God. Did he know God? Did he obey God? Yet he said, you know, there is nothing that separates us, me, from the love of God. Persecution, made a list there that was everlasting long list. That wasn't. See, he wasn't going by the physical. He was going what was going on inside his spirit. You know, one of the areas in which I realized that more and more, and I must confess myself, that I didn't have much understanding myself. But only while studying God, I started understanding our spirit. And how different our spirit is from God's spirit, no matter if we are born again or not. And our spirit is not a blob that you can see. As much structure, even more structure than our physical body, which is nothing else than the result of what the Spirit has put together. See, there is misunderstanding about God. You know, it says God has ear to hear, has eyes to see, and everything else. And people interpret that, oh, this is talking, you know, philosophically, this is talking, you know, anthropomorphically. Baloney. That's the real stuff. The things we have is just a reduced representation in the physical. He's the one invented the thing. Are you following what I'm saying? See, sometimes we just come extrapolate things in way that are completely nonsensical from a spiritual point of view. I'm getting theological here, but I better slow down. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay. Start to appreciate where I'm going. Okay. It's important. It's important because it's not just a question of preaching a sermon or giving a message. It's a question of getting understanding about spiritual things that we had to live moment by moment. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, the way believers even do all the time, judging things in the wrong, from the wrong perspective. Do you remember when the disciples were with Jesus in John chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, and there was this man that was young from birth, And he says, you know, Master, was he the sin or the parents' sin? And what did Jesus do? He rebuked them. Essentially, he says, mind your business. You don't know anything. That's the position that he had. Okay. Wasn't the physical, by the physical, you can judge anything. You had to have inside information before you open your mouth. Otherwise, you are judging what you are not qualified to judge. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, the Bible says, judge not. Doesn't mean that you don't judge. You know, it means, you know, judge wisely. Not the way men do. They go by the physical instead of really getting the information from the right source. Praise the Lord. You know, that brings up to a point of really see somebody like David. David loved God. Do you believe that? I mean, didn't matter what was going on, he loved God. Even could be attacked by the enemy, and you can read, you know, Psalm 18, and read it many times, read it through, absorb, assimilate it, because there is powerful information there. Powerful information that applies to you. That reveals to you the truth about your position with God. Not the things we think or we want to think or we work for. There says in verse 25 something that is probably one of the most powerful, I would say, secrets in our walk. If we grasp the meaning of that, we can start walking in victory much, much, much more. And I've been teaching about this before, so it's nothing new, but this is so important. Verse 25 says, for with the merciful, you should show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. For the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. See, it doesn't say you are. He said you show yourself. That means that's the way you are going to see him. See, we project ourselves unto God. That is the psychology, they talk about that all the time. And this is really what we do. If we think God is mean, is not God mean? We are. If we think God is good and loving, you are too. If we feel that God is good and loving, you love God no matter what's going on. So, want to I read that scripture before. I said, you know, that God searches us, searches all things. He searches, knows exactly where we are, and the way that we project him, the way we see him, is nothing else than the way we are. Because God doesn't change. But everybody has a different image of God according to the way they are. Now somebody can say, oh, praise the Lord, that's a good... Somebody else says, oh, I have a problem here. Are you following what I'm saying? See, the Psalm 18 was written by David at the moment in which he was in glory. He loved God enormously because he overcome all his enemies. Easy things to do. I mean, you know, you see the power of God working in you, giving you victory, then, you know, it's not a big deal. But when things don't go your way, and you can still love God with everything you got, it shows more than what's going on in the physical. It shows what's going on inside yourself. In fact, later on, if you read the old psalm, shows, you know, all the things that David went through. And even nevertheless, that was his position toward God. He was in love with God. He couldn't care less about even if his wife thought that he was crazy and lost his clothes to dance for the Lord. Hello, are you following me? Are you getting anything today? I hope so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there are many places, many examples of this in the Bible, of people that have the spiritual understanding and could separate what happened in the physical what really would happen in the spiritual dimension. One person that had the spiritual growth and the Lord plan was developing in his life, not only that, but he was going along with God's plan, was Joseph. He to start with was pretty green and, you know, made some things that were not because of meanness, but because he was too naive and got himself in trouble. Okay, but, you know, at the end, he shows very clearly in Genesis chapter 50, when finally he revealed himself to his brothers, who got scared because they were trying to, they had practically killed him. Okay? Well, it says there, you know, Genesis 50, verse 19, Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God." He has been always in the place of God. He wasn't there complaining, "Why me?" He wasn't there, you know, "This brother of mine are evil and mean and everything else." No. He was spiritually perfect, perspective and understanding about physical situation and how to interpret them. Verse 20, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And be comforted." Then he spoke kindly to them. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? See, God sometimes doesn't do things just for yourself. He can allow some things to happen for somebody else that they exactly need what happens to you. Let me continue here. Praise the Lord. See, I said that before, I'm not going to repeat the scripture. Yeah. Anyway, so, his position is starting the beginning of the psalm. You know, says, you know, "The Lord gave me victory over all my enemy." Hallelujah, jumping up and down and rejoicing. And the second verse says, for Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." That was God, what was God's experience of David. He was knowing that that was the truth. Didn't matter that what he was going before, that was always the place that he would go as a refuge, as a place. And that is repeated all over the Bible. Okay. But we cannot go on that refuge if we do not understand God, if we are not trusting God. Praise the Lord. Okay. says, let me read you. Those verses are booked. I'm going to be, I don't know what time it is. Okay, it's good. It's good. I did half of what I wanted to do, but that's good. All right, so here is it. You know, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from my enemy. See, that's the expectation. That's the confidence. That's the trust. It's not that I'm going to trust myself about quoting scriptures and about doing things and I'm pushing the devil to kick him off my plate. God is going to do that because he is the power. He is the source. He is the provider. He won the battle already. He made a show of the enemy, displaying it, stripping him of his power. Praise the Lord. See, verse 4. The pangs of death surround me, and the flood of ungodliness are made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surround me. The snare of death surround me. With all this, in my distress, I call upon the Lord. I cried out to my God. I heard my voice. He heard my voice in this temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ear. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of the hills who also quaked, and they were shaken because he was angry. See, you can get angry as much as you want. Can't do anything. Your emotions and your strength cannot move spiritual things. God can. God will. That's what it's saying here. That's what happened in chapter 4 of Acts when they prayed together in unity and the place shook. Wasn't they making the place shook? God made the place shook. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I preached enough for today. You think so? Did you get anything? Okay. I mean, you know, Bible, theory doesn't count. Words doesn't count. And when the words become alive inside us, it makes a difference. So let's pray together that the things I share today may not just come up one ear and get out of the other, but they stay there and they keep strengthening you the way they strengthen me. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love that is beyond understanding, because our brain can't think too much. But you know all things, and you can reveal to us what we need to know. I ask you to open my heart, touch my mind, empower my mind to receive your word, that I may manifest it in my life, and your power may be manifested for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So if you want to participate in the ministry, the prayer ministry, or the men's ministry, just, we don't know yet what's going on, just sign up so that we can determine which is the best way to implement it. We know what we want. We know what we want to do. We want what works, and we want to make it work for you. God bless you.